Bourbon Boys.
Glad you listened to our podcast.
Sorry for calling you boys.
Didn't mean to assume gender.
Welcome to Come At Me, an extremely wonderful podcast. My name is Kindred. I'm here with Riley.
Hey,
again.
Hello.
This is really weird.
Hey, it looks like, I don't know what I did, but it doesn't look like it's picking up the fucking fan from my tower anymore, so we might be
nice. Okay. You're, is it insensitive to call it redneck engineering? Is that something I can't say anymore?
I will have to tweet it and see if people get mad about it.
Take a poll.
Yeah.
All right, well... But no, I'll just say it's ingenious engineering.
Thank you. Yeah, you want to know? Okay. Hi, guys. What's up? Welcome. If you're listening, why? hey, this should be
it's
fun.
It's been a whole pandemic and a half. The pandemic's still going on. We're still friends. And I do think our goal was honestly to probably start recording after the pandemic.
And we're still I'm still wearing masks everywhere. So yep. I guess that means it's not over.
It's not. It's still technically a pandemic.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I want you to know that the hat that I use to cover my mic.
Yes.
Is one of those fucking pussy hats from the Women's March that an old lady gave to me when I was in the march. And at the time, I was like, oh, hell yeah, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't ever wear that again. And so I was like, perfect. I can use it to cover this mic and maybe it'll help the sound not be as bad. I don't know.
It's good for one thing and it's now that.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks, lady.
Maybe a Halloween costume?
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Okay. Maybe like an SJW character. Yeah. That's exactly. Such a good idea. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
I'll keep that in mind. I have like a fucking, I don't know what it's called. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say things that I don't know they're called. But you know the, like, the symbol for, like, Venus? And it's, like, the femininity symbol?
Yeah. Is it the, like, the... No. Wait, do I? I don't know.
It's like the pointy arrow in a circle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've got a pin of that was pinned to this hat.
Nice.
And it has, instead of the arrow, it's got a fist in it. And
that
I was like,
so
nice.
Stupid.
It's so weird. It's like, but, you know... It's been a while from that time. I feel very differently.
That's okay. And now you've got this hat to cover your mic.
I don't regret going. Okay.
No. But I think that'd be weird if you did.
I'm so mad that I went to the Women's March.
I fucking hate women. I don't want them to have shit. And I stand by that.
Amen. Fuck women. And they shouldn't have shit.
Fuck women, and that's why today we watched an episode of Lawrence Welk called something about girls.
A tribute to our favorite girls.
A tribute to our favorite girl singers.
Yeah, and why are they girls instead of women?
I want everyone to know that I don't have any, like, social justice warrior in me.
Yeah.
But the entire time... I guess it's fun to see. It didn't make me livid that they were calling them girls, but it was just like, this is fucking wild.
Well,
they're calling all these singers girl singers.
And I thought it was really funny. They were like, a tribute to our favorite girl singers. And then the first song is like half men.
Yeah.
And then there's like men heavily featured throughout. Oh, man.
Yes.
I have comments on things. Also, I wanted to tell you, because like full disclosure.
Okay.
So I watched this episode... very loosely.
I
cleaned my kitchen while it was on in the room next to me, and then every time a new song would start, I would peek so I could see the costume.
Yes, that's exactly how I watched this episode too. That I have full view of my TV from my kitchen just because I have a limited apartment.
Gotcha.
But no.
Needless to say, like, we're gonna have an expert review.
In
depth.
We know a lot of things. We know a lot of stuff.
I guess, should we explain what the fuck is going on here?
Oh, yeah. Sure. We didn't want... originally, a year ago, we got sick of our original format, as I think our listeners noticed, if there's listeners.
Yeah.
And so we tried kind of like a identity crisis.
That was
identity,
fun.
And I enjoyed that.
But it was
a lot
of work.
But guess what? That takes a lot of work. That's new cover art for Riley to do every week.
Which, that's my favorite thing. I love that shit.
Oh, yeah. But
But
no, yeah. But it's just like one more thing on top of stuff we already have to do.
Yeah.
And then we have to research. I mean, research in the loosest terms, you know, you got to figure out what the format of that other podcast is. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out, I mean, it's what I'm saying is it's work and we didn't want to do it.
Right.
So I kind of suggested, let's do Lawrence Welk. It's something you can watch while you clean your kitchen.
Right.
And then we can talk about it.
Yeah. And then we don't have to think about every week, like, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? Do we need to meet up and write an episode?
No, God, no. No, we just meet up and talk about I'll just ask you, what was your favorite, like, what moment stood out to you the most?
Okay. I'll tell you, and then I have questions, okay?
Okay, okay.
Firstly, I loved the Spanish song. That was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite song of the whole show was when the old man in his blue suit was singing about how his house was falling apart, but it wouldn't matter because soon he would be dead.
He would be meeting the saints.
And I was like, what in the actual fuck is this song about?
Well, and I liked when they introduced that and they were like, I don't really know who Rosemary Clooney is.
Yeah.
But Lawrence Welk was like made famous by Rosemary Clooney.
Yeah.
And I was like, she has to be young when she's saying this, right?
I could not tell you. I don't know. All I know is she couldn't go to the show because she was sick.
She was sick. I loved it. Loved it.
Oh, and I loved, like I told you before we were recording, sorry, guys. I love the, the bread making.
Yes.
And I love that they were like, Silver Dollar City. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
The best moment of the whole show, I think, for me.
I hope I was watching it.
Oh, it was maybe you were probably listening, but it was when she was like kind of walking around her place in Branson.
Yeah.
The lady who was hosting.
Yeah.
And she says something ridiculous. She's like, as I'm sure you've guessed, hearts are really special.
I love
to me.
Hearts. Yeah.
It was so fucking wild. Well, it was then she so goes, good.
Both of my parents died from heart disease. So hearts are really important. And I was like, oh, like, yeah, hearts are really important. Fucking right.
Hearts are, yeah. And then she's touching, a bunch of, heart-shaped, tchotchkes.
I know.
And it's just
oh, my God.
So,
and
it was out of left field, honestly. I didn't guess anything about her liking hearts.
No,
I don't.
She's like, as you might have guessed. And I wonder, so here are where my questions start, okay?
Okay.
Hey guys, here's just so you know, Kindred likes the Lawrence Welk show.
I do.
Unironically, she watches it in her own unpaid time. I'm paid very well for this podcast.
Yes.
That's right.
Paid handsomely.
And that's why I am willing to watch the show. Not, I mean, it's not,
yes.
I don't, it's not horrible, obviously.
Yeah.
I love the costumes. That's the most fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love Lawrence Welk. I love how Mormon it feels to me.
It does, because it's just so wholesome.
Yeah, but so I have questions because do they usually have field trips in the episodes like that?
So what it is so it's like a rerun. That's I think that's the earlier format of their rerun. Do you remember in high school? When they did it on PBS.
Yeah.
The reruns on PBS, they changed their format in the late, in the early 2000s, I think, to where they're, in a studio. So that lady, and I can't remember her name, but she hosts a lot. So I kind of like this because I'd never seen that format of her, hosting a rerun before.
Oh.
Because it was more interesting.
Wait,
to have
wait
her
a minute.
Out in, Branson.
So that was a rerun, and then the Branson stuff was, added to
yeah,
the rerun?
Yeah, so that... Yeah, yeah. So that was, that was, current, in
yeah,
the,
yeah,
like,
that was
the
filmed,
90s
like, last year.
Yeah, it was from, 2020. No, but, that was, when it was rerun in the 90s.
Okay.
That was her Branson stuff, and then the show is from, 72 or whatever.
Okay, weird. Because,
yeah,
I was pretty confused about the aesthetics.
Uh-huh, yes.
And why any of it was happening. I was like, why, what's going on? Why is this lady on a field trip? Why is she talking about her dead parents? What's happening here?
She's just hosting the rerun.
Okay. That's such a weird, a weird thing to do. So normally they're just in the studio?
Well, it depends on the thing about all the videos on YouTube is you can find originals where it's not the PBS rerun version.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's, like, I've seen a couple episodes from, like, the 50s where they still have the advertisements in and they aren't the reruns.
Oh,
and
that's
they're in
fun.
Black and white. They're wild. They, like, had this one where they were selling a Cadillac and there was a commercial in the middle of the show and they were driving a Cadillac and then they land, like, a small airplane on the Cadillac.
What?
Yeah. Huh? Yes.
Wait.
So,
huh?
So that, yes. But so since that's a commercial, when they do the rerun on PBS, that commercial wouldn't have been in it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's, I think that's why they do the reruns.
So then like Rhonda goes to Branson instead.
Yeah. Okay. And then in later years, they're just like in a studio, selling the latest album, country album they've released.
Wow. Okay. That's fun. All of it's very fun. So I want... For myself and for the listeners.
Yeah.
I don't think most humans are as familiar with the show as you are in their 20s, you know? Most people in their 20s are not this versed. So I want, if you can, I don't know if you know this stuff.
Okay.
Can you give me like a brief explanation of how and why this show started and like its years that it ran and like what's up with Lawrence Welk, where's he from?
It ran forever. Okay. It ran forever
with Lawrence Welk. It's like the Lawrence Welk show.
Yeah, because he was a big band. He's a big band director, and back in the 1930s and 40s, that was like something that you could be. You know, you could get famous. You could get famous directing bands, and that's like how Doris Day got her start. And
it
was so funny. Yeah, she was a singer, or a singer for a big band.
Oh, I thought you meant she was directing big bands. I was like, they let women do that?
No, she was a girl singer.
Oh,
Riley.
Obviously, a girl singer. Our favorite girl singer.
Favorite girl singer. I think it started 40s even, but it ran until, like, the 80s. So it had, like,
run. Lawrence Welk?
With Lawrence Welk, yeah.
Jesus Christ. How old was he in the 80s?
Old as shit. I mean, you know, 10 years older than he was. I don't think it ran long into the 80s.
It could
but
have.
But I think it... No, but I think it had like a 40-year run. This is just me trying to remember shit I've read on Wikipedia about this before.
Yeah, I like that we...
I won't look it up.
We don't do research.
I don't do real research, and everything that I do research comes from Wikipedia.
But, yeah. A quick Google. IMDb.
It's a quick research, but he's from Eastern Europe somewhere, and he has like 10 kids.
Oh my god! Why did I think he was Hispanic?
That's racist.
Okay, sorry.
Just kidding. he's Eastern European somewhere.
I guess that could be Spain, maybe. No,
it's not. Eastern Europe.
I know.
Spain
is
in
Western. I know.
All right, hey, listeners, I'm going to blow my nose so, like, nobody listen. I'm turning away from the mic.
I can't turn away from the mic for that, so thank you. Okay, so, like, so it didn't originally run on PBS?
No, it was, like, ABC. It was, like, primetime
television.
Are you
serious?
I'm 100% serious, and it was a big deal. Like, being on, like, Lawrence Welk was, like, one of the... Obviously, from the long run,
it's like being on the
Muppets.
People
loved it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So
I did love the costumes, and I was
very
impressed almost every time. I was like, wow, those are really they look like really nice. Good job.
They do. I agree. I think I like watching it now because I think if you know all the musical like. Things where like the guys are where they're dancing or where they're like dancing and singing together as a kid I think I would have been very just like wow this is so fun but I remember something my mom saying when I was young like when I loved musicals and I think that's known on this podcast but would be like let's say I'm watching Oklahoma I remember my mom saying crap, like, when a man was dancing and, like, smiling really, like, big, she'd say, I want to punch him in the face. And today I was, and I always thought that was, like, the weirdest sentiment. But today I was watching this, and there's that dance number where they're doing, like, you know, she's wearing, like, that pink dress.
Uh-huh.
And he's wearing, like, a gray suit, and his name's Bobby. And he's just smiling so wide and like the way he's like dancing around I wanted to punch him in the face
I didn't like that girl either
Oh, she's got a weird face.
I was like, what's up with her hair? You know?
Yeah.
Everybody else looks really nice, and this lady looks like she's gonna kill someone.
Yeah, she does have a wild
Like, she looked like she was really repressed, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, no, she's got a weird look.
I did like the first song a lot, and it's stuck in my head now.
I can't remember. I watched the first song, like, yesterday. I watched
Put another nickel in that Nickelodeon.
Oh, yes.
All I want is music, whatever
it was. I was going to ask you, what the fuck is a Nickelodeon?
I learned about it one time in history class, and here's what I, well, here, I don't know how a nickel's involved is the thing. Okay. But I think it was like a variety stage show, like there's a, something that it's called vaudeville, like kind of like vaudeville stuff. Yeah. I think.
Okay.
We could Google it, or we could Google this anything.
I wanted to Google where Lawrence Wolk is from so bad, but I'll have to do that in between shows.
Oh, but I want to know. Okay, well if you do it in between shows, let me know next week because
I will. I will.
Well, but I'll look up Nickelodeon stuff.
Okay, perfect.
Or I'll probably just forget.
Yeah. And we'll just do it next week on air.
I still got to make our thumbnail, which I'm really excited about.
Ooh, that's awesome. Listeners going to see behind the air.
Yeah, hey guys, I haven't done it yet. It's been I'm having a hard time. There's a lot going on.
We're also going to, like, I was just thinking, I was like, I'm going to have to log back into Dropbox. I don't know how to get into Dropbox.
Fuck, I can't get on my laptop anymore. I mean, like, I can. Oh, my God, I had to get on the other day for my resume.
Yeah.
I saved them on my laptop so I wouldn't have to get them off of the hard drive that we bought.
Right.
Or whatever, external hard drive.
Yeah.
And it took me, like, 40 minutes just to turn on my fucking computer, which has been completely wiped. It, like, just has my resumes and, I think, like, my taxes on it.
Yeah.
And everything else has been wiped. And it took
And it still
so
took 40 minutes?
Fucking long to just to update my resume. It took me, like, an entire evening.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm so happy to not have to use it again. So I'm going to have to figure out how to get it on this computer, which I just don't know my login, and I guess that's all I need.
Yeah, I think that you just download it and then log in. I don't know, love username or something.
Username.
It's like a username. I just want to say one other thing about this show.
Okay.
I probably have four more things. Okay. But there's that one where I'm just going to talk about every aspect I hate.
Okay, great.
I hate the tenor, the guy. It's the song was unmemorable, but he's the one.
Okay, you have to just
tenor is high. He was the one who was just really singing a beautiful high song. But
I wish you remembered it.
he was one of the guys who sang a song.
Did he have a bowl cut?
No, I like the guy with the bowl cut. He sang the Doris Day song. Yeah, and I was like, this is wild.
Yeah, I know. I was like, why did they pick this guy?
It's like,
why not one of our tribute to our girl singers? What about her? Why do we pick this guy to sing the Doris Day song?
Well, it's a tribute to Doris Day is a girl singer.
Oh, okay. So it's fine. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, was that the point, actually? It wasn't their girl singers. It was just girl singers?
It was girl singers in general.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I know.
Okay, I didn't understand that. I thought that it was about their girl singers.
No. It's a loose concept, but it's about just girl singers in general.
Okay.
But they don't usually have any Doris Day songs. So
really?
It was so funny that I picked an episode. Or I don't know. I don't think I've ever watched an episode where he's like, this was Doris Day. Doris Day made this one famous.
Yeah.
So it was just funny that I picked one that they were just really talking about Doris Day.
Yeah. And then somebody else that I was like, oh, I know that name.
Uh-huh.
Debbie Reynolds or something?
Oh, yeah, Debbie Reynolds. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Debbie. And they were like, she's an excellent comedian. And I was like, she's a comedian? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know Debbie Reynolds was considered a comedian.
Yeah, I think so. Although I didn't know the song that he sang from her Broadway musical.
No, me neither.
Tammy?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
It was Broadway musical. Maybe in 1970, whatever, then it was really big deal.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just sure it
I'm
was.
Sure it was.
I'm just sure it was. I'm currently reading, this is going to seem unrelated.
Probably is. But it's okay.
I'm currently reading a book, and it's about a girl who had an affair with J.D. Salinger when she was 18.
Oh, is this a fictional book? Or is this...
No, this, what, is, this really? Is real life. He was 53, and she was 18, and they had, like, a year-long affair, and it's yikes. Really, it's, yeah, that it's just, it makes me just say yikes. And the way that, the book I'm reading is in 1972, when she's 18.
Oh, okay.
And so it's really, just the way that he treats her, though, is so, it just, like, makes me sick.
Yeah, you know, that's not hard to imagine.
It's so anyway, so it's just like, it's just very, very, like very dated views on women and relationships and all these sorts of things.
Cool.
And so I was reading that. Yeah, no, it's super fun and it's awesome. And it's light. It's just light reading.
Reading.
I was reading that before, or I was reading that last night.
Yeah.
And then I woke up this morning, did my errands, and then I was watching this episode of Lawrence Welk,
mm-hmm.
and it, that, my view of that sort of, like, manipulative relationship was really tainting my view of this episode of Lawrence Welk, just because, you know, it takes place, like, the same couple years.
Sure.
And you can just see, like, I don't know, women still just don't have...
There was multiple times where I was like, ooh, gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, exactly. And I wasn't, you know, I didn't sit down and watch this, as I said.
Right.
And there was multiple times where I peeked in and I was like, ugh. Like,
yes.
There was a song and the dudes like swung the ladies around and they were like holding them from behind.
Yes.
And the smile on the dudes' faces.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I know they're performing, you know, and they're just trying to like have stage presence or whatever.
Right.
But it was like, it felt so creepy and weird.
The guys' smiles, the guys' performative smiles versus the girls' performative smiles are different.
Yeah, you know? Yes. And I really had this thought. I wish that you could tell me this, maybe you can't. But I was, you know, wiping off the table.
Yeah.
And okay. I was thinking, like, wow, all these people seem so repressed, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about that a lot. You and me and Linda were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
And thinking about, like, how... And it's interesting. They were talking about it on YMH this week, too, actually.
Uh-huh.
About when, like, the really clean guys, the clean comedians or the clean actors or whatever, they usually have some, like, really dark shit in their closets, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, if you can't get your darkness out in a way that is, like, expressive and, I think, playful, and I think...
Yeah.
Like, make light of your darkness, you know?
Yeah.
Then it festers and it turns into, you know, like, pedophilia crap and stuff, you know? Duggar, it's been a whole week of me thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I didn't realize how many things have been bringing this to my attention.
Yeah.
But I thought about all these Lawrence Welk bitches, and I was like, I bet either, I bet shit really goes down when the cameras stop rolling.
Yeah.
Like, I bet there's cattiness and bitchiness and, like, people being pissed and sexual harassment and all sorts of stuff.
Right.
Or a lot of these people have, like, really seedy, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
Like, shit, secrets, I guess.
Well, I can tell you two facts.
Yes.
So the first one is
that Lawrence Welk was jailed for
he was jailed for pedophilia, just like Josh Duggar.
Just like Josh Duggar.
Just like Josh Duggar. No. The first one, it's not that bad, but the lady who hosted this episode, did you see when she was singing with her and her husband, Lawrence Welk introduced them as our couple?
I'm sure I did, but make note of it.
She sings with her husband, but I think they met on the show, they got married, and then they later divorced on the show.
Wow.
But I think, like, they weren't supposed to, like...
Tell people?
That wasn't public on the show.
Oh.
But they were still divorced.
Yeah.
And then Lawrence Welk told everybody when they were getting fat.
What?
Like, when people got fat. So I think, like, I don't know a ton, but I have a feeling that there was probably, like, a culture of, like, if I'm not absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I can't maintain this, like, very high profile
sure.
kind of position on this show.
Yeah.
So I just think, I always think about that when I, they have this one piano player, and she's great. She wasn't on this episode, but she's like a larger lady.
Yeah.
And she plays the piano just insanely. She just does ragtime.
They're like, I guess we have to keep you because you're fucking good at this.
Yeah, because she's like fucking really good.
Like, but you don't get to be up front.
No, she's never up front. She's never, I don't know if she can sing, but if she can, like, you know, she's never like in a costume.
I wish I could talk to all these people and be like, tell me all the shit.
I know. But so I think there probably was just some shit going on backstage, but maybe not. I just hope it wasn't too dark. I don't know.
I feel
that's
like
what I always hope, though.
I know. And that's, like, I think the older I get, it's weird because I...
Shaw. Sorry, my Shaw. Fucking cat.
We're trying to record. I feel like I realize more of the goodness and more of the darkness in, like, humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm continually surprised how kind and good and decent people can be.
Yeah.
And I'm continually shocked how horrible and evil and dark people can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think you want to operate on a level where you kind of just assume that most people are, I don't like the word good because I just don't think that really says anything.
No, because it's a very black and white
subjective
word. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And everybody like feels something differently about that.
Yeah.
But like, I guess, I don't know. And then I'm like thinking like innocent, like what's the word I'm looking for? Like people aren't malicious maybe in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then people will surprise you, you know, with how, and you'll surprise yourself.
Right.
And I think that, like this whole thing, this whole week, everything we've been talking about makes me think you have to accept like how fucked up you are.
Right.
You have to accept your like darkness. You have to be like comfortable with that.
Right.
And have a way to like exercise it.
Right.
Without it turning into like this big thing you have to hide or something, you know?
Right. And I think so much of it is also, it's not even, I think in a lot of cases, because not everybody's a pedophile.
Right, right.
You know?
No, totally. That's an extreme.
Right, but I think, like, people need to come to terms with their imperfections.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I think we'll just keep using the Duggars because that's something we're both very familiar with.
Yeah.
But, like, I think in that sort of, like, extreme religious setting, everything you do is so performative.
Yeah.
When you, on the inside, just do not match up with what you are showing on the outside.
Mm.
Like, that you're forced to show by your parents.
Yeah.
Your community.
Yeah.
You're on fucking TV.
Oh, my God.
You, reconciling that has got to be so hard. So hard.
Near impossible.
Yeah. So, I guess it's not surprising.
It's not. And that's what's, like, I really wish, I don't know, I wish a lot of things, but I wish that people could accept their humanity more.
Yeah.
And, like, if we could see ourselves as animals.
Yeah.
You know, because I really see humans as animals.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, we've gotten too smart.
we have.
You know, our brains got too big and we fucked ourselves up.
Right.
But if you can, like, see yourself as an animal who's just in the world as an animal, functioning as an animal,
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, above that somehow. That you have some kind of responsibility to transcend your, like, animalness.
Yeah.
I think that you can reckon with it better and you can be a better person because you can be like, well, I have this thing about me that's shitty.
Yeah.
I have lots of things about me that are shitty. I have lots of flaws and lots of pettiness and shitty meanness and all these things. And if I can be okay with that, Then I can move on from it.
Yeah.
I can be like, well, I feel like I want to do this. And I, okay, there's that. I'm not scared of it. But I don't need to let that, like, fester and become this big, like, fetish or taboo or, like, this big, huge secret. Like, right. I've been thinking a lot about, we're really going off the rails here, but.
That's what this show is
about. That's what this show is about.
That's why I picked Lawrence Welk. We can talk about whatever we want or Lawrence Welk.
But I heard this phrase, maybe I've already told you this, and if I have, I'm sorry, but that's just how this goes.
Okay.
I was listening to NPR.
Okay. Classic Riley, okay.
As I'm odd to do. And okay. I was listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Uh-huh.
And there was this guest on there, and God damn it, I wish I remembered his name. But he's like this 75-year-old Broadway performer guy.
Okay.
Fucking delightful.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sorry, dude, and we're not allowed to Google on the show anymore. No, so we're not. I can't remember
your
name.
That's our only rule.
Our only rule is we can't Google on the show. I think that should be real. That's okay. Going to be a rule, all right, a rule good. Now. We're just going to give really false information all the time and be like, I don't know. We'll Google it and maybe we'll tell you next time.
We'll call it Come At Me, an extremely wonderful podcast. We can't use Google anymore.
We can't use Google. We pretend Google didn't happen. Anyway, he used this phrase and I've been obsessing about it because it really like struck me. I've never heard anybody say this term before. And he said, from a young age, I have always been self-possessed.
Okay.
And I was like, self-possessed. That is the most, I just love that term. Owning yourself from like.
Yeah.
Because I don't think most people are not self, but some people are self-obsessed, you know. Some people are whatever, but they don't own themselves. I think when you're self-obsessed, you're owned by other people.
Absolutely.
Ironically, but that's, you know, like,
yeah,
whenever you're in that mode, then you're again, like you were saying, performative and like the Duggars and all that kind of stuff where it's like you have to be a certain way for the people that are watching you.
Yeah.
And when you're self-possessed, then you get to be whoever you are because you own whatever that is, you know, good or bad, whatever your story is, whether or not it fits into the narrative that people expected for you.
Right.
And then other people get to just react to that however they want to. And it doesn't matter. Yes. I own myself. You don't own me.
Right.
And I'm like, and I think, oh my God, I got to be self-possessed. I got to figure out how to do that.
I think it would solve so many issues. I wish you were currently reading this book because this is literally, it's just interesting to see exactly what the issue, besides like the weird, I don't have a thing against age gaps.
Yeah.
But this girl, they tend to be
maybe not okay a lot of the time.
When the younger partner is 18 years old, there's a very big question
when
of
they're in their teens.
Yeah, it's like different if you're like 30 and they're like 70.
Yeah,
you know what?
Yes, that is different for sure.
Yeah, that's different. But anyway, I can see the issue, and the issue with J.D. Salinger is exactly what you were talking about with like if he could just accept that he was a fallible human.
Yeah,
there's so much she talks about him, and he's like he is extremely like raw vegan, and he's into homeopathic medicine, and he meditates often, and it's all to try and like exercise him of his animal nature.
Yeah.
And she is 18, and so she doesn't know that she can just be herself and that she can be self-possessed, and that he doesn't. She basically, you know, for 6 months or, you know, however long they were actually like together, quote unquote, she's living with him, and he controls her every thought, and it's
very easy.
What
a vulnerable age to move in with somebody.
Exactly. And it's very easy for him to control her, and you know, because he starts off with like, you're not like anybody else, you're so talented,
oh my God,
you're so amazing,
you're not like other girls.
Exactly. And it morphs into her being like, because I'm not like anyone else. She was like, she had an article published in the New York Times when she was like 18, and it was like a very big deal back then.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she's very impressive, but
big deal now, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. But she, she does not know who she is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess I don't know if you can at that age.
I was going to say, anybody who thinks they do,
they're wrong.
they're wrong. Honestly, really. Yeah. And I have some friends now who are young.
Right.
They've started where I work, and so I just like them and we're friends. But they're 18, this one girl.
Yeah.
And she's super dope and awesome, but she's fucking 18, you know?
Right.
And, like, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, you're 18. And it's, and it doesn't say anything wrong about her character. It just, you just have to age, you know? Like, you've got to have more life. You've got to have more. And, like, I remember I was talking to my other friend who, I think she's maybe 23 now.
Okay.
Which I'm fucking 28. Oof.
I know. I don't want to talk about it.
Maybe she's 24. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
There's some kind of age gap there. And it's weird. Like, the generational difference in those couple years, so much changed.
Yeah.
With, like, the internet and technology and social media and all that stuff. We really have, like, a gap, like a generational gap.
Right.
With just those couple years. Anyway.
Yeah.
We were talking the other night, and she was like, you know, I really thought when I was, like, 21 that I kind of knew everything, kind of had everything figured out.
Okay.
And she's like, and now I am like, oh, nope. And I'm like, and that's, and I remember feeling that way too.
Yeah.
I remember what being like 21, 22 and being like, yeah, I pretty much, you know, I pretty much got this. I pretty much know, I pretty much know who I am. I pretty much know what I want, you know, for the, for the most part. And I know, and I pretty much have the right opinion on most things.
Yeah.
know, you really feel that way. You really feel like confident in your, in yourself for, in that age. Right. And I think that's like developmental.
Yes.
And maybe an important part of being that age is being overly confident.
Yeah.
And then you get hit with like actual adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of realize how stupid you are and how much you really fuck up all the time.
Right.
And how much you treat people like shit without trying to. Just all this stuff. I think like if you can set aside your ego.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn a lot with a little humility.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, I'm a completely different person than I was when I was 18. I mean, I'm not a completely, completely different person.
No, but.
But I live a completely different life.
Yeah. I like a complete, if you would have asked me, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, and I was really, really thinking about this because yesterday was, no, 2 days ago, it was Hank's birthday.
Yeah.
And he just turned 10.
Wow.
And like that was very. I mean, right obviously, when we graduated. I know exactly. So it's like I know exactly kind of what I was feeling back then because it was a very like important time or very like significant,
monumental.
Time.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's like you know, if you would have asked me back then if this is what I was going to be doing, and I don't mean that negatively.
No,
it's neither
no.
good nor bad. It's just like
it is
I am. I'm different.
Yeah,
than
totally.
I was.
And I'm not sad about it. Like you said, it's not good or bad. It's like
no.
I feel like I recognize that I – actually, you know what? Here's the other thing.
Okay.
I'm working on my resume the other night.
Yeah.
And I realize how much cool shit I actually do.
Yeah.
And how much cool shit I have done just since I last edited my resume. Because, you know, I'm adding skills and hobbies and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't – same thing with my 18-year-old friend. We went out to breakfast the other day.
Uh-huh.
I say the other day. It was a couple months ago. I've never hung out with her before. And I see the J.D. Salinger 18-year-old kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
Because she looks up to me.
Right.
And that it makes you feel good. It inflates your ego.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she said something like, oh, you're just so cool. Like, I just – something about how cool I am and she has a crush on me or something.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then I sat there for a second and I said, I'm not – I'm just older than you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just have had 10 more years
mm-hmm.
of embracing myself, trying to live authentically, like mm-hmm. making these turns in my life and these decisions in my life to feel more aligned with myself. You know, I'm not any kind of special. I'm not cool. I'm not any interesting anything. I'm just me for longer than you have been.
Yes.
And
she'll get there too.
Yeah. And I don't. I do actively try to seek out what I really want and who I really am.
Right.
And I think those are really so fucking complicated. And hard to, like, put a grasp on. So you're always striving for it. You know, you never, like, get there.
Right. Well, and I think it's, like, a concept that I didn't even really think about for a very long time, well into my 20s.
Yeah.
Because I think I just took me for granted.
Yeah.
I, like, and I can't – I can't put that into better words, but it was just like, I just am me. I don't need to figure out what I like or what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll just stumble
upon it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not something that, like, needs discovering. It's not an active
search. Yeah.
It just is something that I should know innately. And that doesn't make, and I didn't. Feel any good.
And that's the thing. It's, okay, so, you know, I'll stop talking about this at some point. But I have my job interview, right, the other day.
Right.
And it went so well. And the lady was so fucking cool. We end up just talking, you know.
Right.
And I'm making some changes in my career. And so we were talking about that, you know. Like, how do you come to this point where you make this huge shift? Right. And she was saying, like, I've always told, like, every 20-year-old that I know, I try to tell them that, like, you need to really figure out what you care about.
Right.
And what makes you feel fulfilled. Because if you don't, you're just going to end up somewhere doing something, and that's what you'll do. You'll get stuck. You'll end up in some place doing something, and that's just what you'll do, because that's just what happens. You're just going to have to do something. So if you don't really sit down and consider what that something is that you want to do, which I didn't know until I was 28, you know?
Right. Right.
I graduated college when I was 22, I think, 23.
Yeah.
23, I think. And it's taken me 5 years to I've really been trying to figure out what the fuck I'm supposed to do. Because I can do many things.
A lot of things.
You know, I'm good at a lot of things, but most of those things don't make any money, which means I have to slip into some kind of something where I can support myself. Because I'm not going to be like, hey, Josh, can you get a better job and so I can quit? And like,
yeah.
You can just take care of that money stuff.
Right. Well, he's the husband. I don't understand the problem.
What the fuck? I'm supposed to be pumping out these kids. He's supposed to be at a job he fucking hates. Like
9 to 5.
We're doing things so wrong. We're both just working low paying jobs that we like. And it's really stupid. But I don't know. That is to say, figure out how you want to spend your days and what really matters to you. And it doesn't have to be – your career doesn't have to be important, but you spend a lot of time at it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you got to try to find something that doesn't suck the fucking life out of you.
But also, I think another important lesson, even, like, from your goings on right now is that you can change.
Oh yeah.
And even if you were 38 and you hadn't decided until you were 38,
like,
you could still make a change.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
That's one of my biggest things that bothers me, is that it's always bothered me. It's bothered me ever since I considered this fact that you're, like, handed a timeline that you're supposed to hit these markers at.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, when you're 20, you're going to go to college, and then you're going to get a degree, and then you're going to get a job in that field, and then you're going to work in that field forever, and then you die.
Yeah.
And then you retire, you know?
Right. Right.
Or, like, you know, the Mormon timeline was one of my biggest reasons that religion pissed me off. I was like, what if I don't want to do these things? What if they don't happen to me, you know?
Right. You're 18, you get married, and yeah, you can keep going to school, but, like, after, but you gotta have some kids.
You gotta have some kids, you know? And whatever, cool. That works probably for a lot of people, but it doesn't work for everybody, and I just think it's ridiculous to be like, this is how your life's supposed to go. But that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's, like, I feel like I did feel like I can't. I'm stuck now. It's too late to do something new. And then I think just learning, America's obsessed with youth.
Yeah.
And we think that's, like, the only time that success matters. We love to talk about, like, you know, 30 billionaires under 30 or whatever all that kind of stuff. And it's really impressive. Yeah. Yes, it's impressive because they're young, but, like, how you think they got there, you know?
Right.
They had a pretty nice push. More than likely, you know?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And I think I learned that, like, if, you know, when will I stop saying like? It's still just so annoying. But if you're alive, it's not too late.
No.
It's never too late to shift and to pivot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And change is never, I made you read that fucking book, that John O'Leary self-help book.
Yes.
And it says something like, comfort is popular, but change is what I can't remember the fucking quote. But basically, like, if you're comfortable, that's cool. You know, everybody likes to be comfortable. Yeah. But nothing spectacular is going to come from being comfortable.
Right.
You're never going to feel fulfilled from being comfortable.
Right.
So it's like you got to be willing to be scared and push yourself and take risks, I think. And I'm really risk averse, extremely.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. And absolutely.
So then it makes it hard because I'm like, well, I got to be secure. I got to have $100,000 saved up before I can really make any leaps, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just interesting.
Yeah. And that's why we've made the change into this podcast.
That's right. Exactly. See, guys, it was so scary.
So scary. It was such a risk.
We have so much writing on this. Our futures.
Our incomes.
Our income. We have a whole board we have to impress, you know, all the execs.
Take the proposals to the board.
So we can get our grant.
That's so stupid. I think 45 minutes, is that a good episode length?
Sure.
All right. I'm not asking you, listeners. I was asking Riley.
Well, they can't respond.
I wish they could.
Do we have any closing thoughts? How do we want to close these shows?
Well, we open with wonderful podcast. I want to... Oh, what did they say? They say, Lawrence Welk always closes. They sing a song.
Oh, so we could sing God Bless America.
That's... All right. Here we go. Where are we starting?
How does it start? Yeah, I don't know.
Not from the mountains to the prairie.
Well, that's where my brain went, so we'll start there.
Okay. All right.
From the mountains. To the prairies. I forgot we can't do this.
To the oceans.
To the sea. God bless America.
There's no two.
Bye. Have a good day, everybody.
Yeah. Au revoir.
Au revoir.